You guys can take a seat.
Wow. Is this on? Can you guys hear me? Wow, there's more people in here. This is awesome. Last time I was up here, there's a handful, and I wake, open my eyes and see you guys. This is awesome. Thank you guys for making it out here today. First service for the new year. I'm so glad you guys would be here. I have a special guest here today. My mom's here. She's the right here. Mom, wave your hand. Everybody say hi to my mom. Make sure. All right. She's here today, so we don't always get to see her, so what a blessing to have you here, Mom. So, awesome. Wow. What's our response to that prayer?
I know. That was great.
What's our response, right? I remember last year, I had the opportunity to do the first message of the year, and last year we had to do it online. I think me and my wife, we were dealing with the COVID deal, and we had to do it from home, sitting in our dining room and giving a message, and it's just weird to do it that way. So odd. But last year, I had all this chutzpah behind it. I had like 7 to 10 point vision thoughts for the year ahead, and then 2021 happened. Who had the best year they ever had was last year. Last year was their best year they had. Best year? Yes! Love it. Anybody else have the best year ever?
Pretty good?
Did anybody not have so great a year last year? Good. See some of that too? Some honesty in that room too? Yeah, last year had its peaks and valleys, that's for certain. I know that. When Pastor Matt asked me if I'd be willing to fill the pulpit here today while he's gave his daughter away to somebody else's hand in marriage. And by the way, Annika is no longer an archer anymore, so that's we celebrate them. There's going to be a party for them in a couple of weeks. We want to celebrate them. But, you know, he asked me to fill in, and I'm like, oh, yes, let's do it. I can't wait to do it and start putting some thoughts together. And I was asking God, what do you have for me that would impact my world, then in turn impact my church family? So anything I say today is, I'm basically talking to myself today. And you guys happen to be in the same room with me, talking to myself.
Yeah.
All right? So I find that sometimes those are the best things. Now, I also know that coming up on a few days out, I was not feeling all peppy about doing this. And a lot of you guys know me, and some of you guys are new to me, and some of you guys are guests here for the first time. Well, I tend to be a really over-the-top optimistic energy guy. I kind of, my mom, probably my whole life, I've kind of been the baby of the family. I've kind of been that person. But as I was coming to this, I didn't feel peppy. I felt more like a cloud was on my shoulders. Could have been a spiritual battle. It could have been just life news of life. I mentioned earlier in the first service that I'm going down to my brother's house and my wife did the noise. You guys know what the noise is? The one that gets you to drive off the road noise? Well, she did it.
So I'm not the only one who does that. Great.
Yes.
Yes.
For those people at home, Heather also makes that noise as well. They can't see you or hear you, but I want to make sure to recognize that. They make the noise. And it makes you want to drop off the road because you're like, ah. And my son last night, he didn't make the noise and scare me half to death. I went down the stairs, it was all pitch black, and he was just standing there. It creeped me right out. But I don't know why I said that, but I love having my son here. But she made the noise. And it was the noise of tragic noise. A young man who was part of our youth program in the past, now married, living in North Carolina, two nights ago, motorcycle accident, was killed. Seeing the prayer chain stuff, and Matt's friend who's been in a three-person car accident, one person passing away. It's like, oh, Lord. My dad was going to be here today and so forth, but my dad's facing a major challenge with a potential heart surgery coming up in January. And you think about every moment that you have with people. I had a chance to see my uncles and aunts a couple days ago or yesterday, and I got thinking, how many more times will I even see them? They live in different parts of the country. Is this the last time seeing them? So there's all these thoughts, and I can't get away from them. Like, are these the last times that you're going to be seeing? And it seemed like every week or every day there's one more message of, ugh. And I was feeling that. And I'm also thinking, too, I don't want to do a 10-point message. I don't even have 10 points good in me here. I don't have that. I said, God, what do you have for me this year? What do you have for my people? And he says it. And he says, more of him. More of God. More of him. I said, wait a second. That's too simple. People want to hear messages that are something earth-shattering. I said, this is earth-shattering. If I think about it, more of God. If we have more of God, what an awesome thing to have. Now, my family experienced more of God over this Christmas season. You guys, I want to thank you. We started in this church about a year ago. So we didn't know what the holidays and what a year with you guys would be like because everything was new. But we had a chance on Christmas Eve to take home a really cool box, and we opened it up, and we saw letters, personal letters, gifts out of sacrificial giving, generosity, and my hair went flapping like I had a toupee on. I was like, that's a joke, by the way. I don't have a toupee. This is real. All right. It was awesome. And me and my wife look at each other like I'm looking at her now, and I got a little tear in my eye, and she got a little tear in her eye, and we're like, boy, we are loved. That's part of God. We show that kind of love and generosity to us. So from the Glicker family, and the Archer's not here too, I know they got a similar box. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For those people at home who've been praying, encouraging us, thank you for all that. Now, I'm going to treat you guys like I'm in my living room. I'm going to sit down. I had a chance to look at previous messages when I'm standing up. I'm a taller guy, and I'm leaning over this whole time, and no one even saw my face. So I'm going to sit down with you. You guys okay with that? You all right with that, Adam? All right. I got your blessing. Perfect. All right. So more of God. This is message. Now I got thinking, why does the Bible say we will spend eternity with God when we pass away? Eternity. Does anybody think eternity seems like a very long time? So why is it eternity that we're spending with God? Why is that? Well, a mentor friend of mine told me, and then it kind of opened my eyes up. He says, you know, it's going to take eternity to get to know God. And even then, you won't know all of them. Wow. The thought of even eternity is not long enough. Now, people in this room, is there anybody in this room who've actually known the Lord more than 50 years? Any 50 years or more? 50. How many years? 57 years. Awesome. Mom, how many years? 75 years. Boy, 57 to 75. That's awesome. Are you guys done knowing, learning about God? You're not. So us newbies, I'm 46 now. I'm not 47 yet, babe. 46 years old. I came to know the Lord as a 6-year-old. So 40 years, and I'm still such a baby. What God has in store. And I kept thinking, what are things that God likes? Like, what are all these questions? So I started to make kind of a list of questions. And I want, in your own mind, you guys don't have to. I won't make you grab a mic and come on up and say the rest of the message here to tell me some of the things that you'd ask God. But things that got me thinking, like, how do I go deeper with him? Because what got me thinking, too, is this Bible, I have this plan to go through the Bible again this year. But I don't want to go through based upon You know, the, hey, I want to pray more, like we're doing the 40 days of prayer, which is, I hope everybody joins us with me, because that's going to, we're going to highlight those on our evenings of prayer, some of the things that are coming through on that. I don't want to just read the Bible for the sake of reading the Bible. This here, it gives us the power of life and death. You guys aware of that? How powerful this is? Life and death, right? So I got thinking, if everything I read, it's in the Bible for a reason. Even all the weird stuff that it has a list of names and names and names, there's a reason why it's there. So I've been asking the question, why is that there? And asking a lot of questions. But these are some of the questions that I've asked. And I'm wondering if you guys have some creative questions even beyond what I have here. But here's some of my thoughts here. What is God's favorite color? My daughter, I think in the first service, said rainbow. I said, well, that makes sense. He loves all those colors. What's his favorite time of the day? Does he enjoy music, art, and recreation? I hope he does, because I like those things. Does he value rest and alone time, sweetie? How does he feel about sickness and loss of loved ones? I think I have an idea on that one. How does he describe what is good and what should be avoided because it isn't good for us? Why is he so big on justice and mercy for those who don't deserve it? Why did he use the flood to wipe away the world? And why did he send his son, who was perfect and blameless, to die a sinner's death? Why did he do that? Questions we have. There's a slide that, kind of my own quote I made up. It's meaningful to me. Hopefully it's meaningful to you too. It says, to know him more is to know what is good. Let me say that again. To know him more is to know what is good. In a world where it's hard to know what is good, what is truth, what is good for us, isn't it great to know that the source of all that is good and all good and great things come from the Lord? We can look for that every day. Now, I'm going to take you through the fundamentals a little bit today. I'm going to take you a little bit through through the Old Testament, New Testament, but we're going to highlight in a deeper way Genesis 1. And the reason why I want to highlight Genesis 1, I'm going to have my wife read this, Genesis 1, and it's going to be a little bit to take on. But I want you guys, as she's reading this, I want you to think about God. What things are we learning about God? What are some things like, oh, I've probably heard it 100 times, but I want you to listen to it with different ears and think about who God is in this. And then I want you to think about every time you hear the word, or count every time you hear the word good. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Hello. Oh, look, it's on. There we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thank you. How many people have read that before? A lot of people have read that one. With knowing and learning about God, what were some things that really came to mind? Shout it out as loud as you can. What did you learn about God? Anything? Observations?
He makes good stuff.
He makes good stuff?
He speaks and things happen.
He speaks and things happen.
He's organized.
He's organized? Yeah.
Very powerful.
Powerful?
He saved the best creation for last.
Saved the best for last? He had a plan. It's like he was building up to something, right? Building up to a relationship with somebody? Huh. Anybody else want to shout it out? Anything come to mind that we've learned about God? Just from reading these? Just 31 verses. That's all it was, 31 verses.
He has a rhythm.
Is there a rhythm to him? Awesome. I heard early at first service, God is super creative. Right? He's orderly. Right? What did you say?
Quite the storyteller.
Quite the storyteller. Right? Yeah. He's purposeful, right? Didn't all the making of the trees and the plants to produce fruit and food for us, right? He's purposeful in what he did. He also had boundaries to him. Where he created boundaries, everything into their own kinds. He organized it. For those people who in here who had the gift of organization, that was a gift of God to you and to the world. Like, he was super organized. God gave me one of those, the Mary, too, which is awesome. I love it. God is eternal. He is. He always was. Right? And this might be just a word for somebody today. God doesn't make mistakes. Everything God created was what? What? And when he made people, what did he say of us?
Very good.
Very good. You know, it's interesting when we when we think about our life and our situations, what we're going on, and then we were able to put ourselves out of the center of the world, and we put that aside and we think about God. I figured the start of the year, start with the beginning. Because if you build it off of God, your life, and going forth from there, I figured that would be the best way to start things. Now, we're made in His image. Ding! We're made in His image. Said another way, we can see God in all that is good. When we use our gifts that God has given us, He is glorified. When we are creative, when we live life of purpose, when we have healthy boundaries, when we trust God for provision, when we keep our rooms orderly, children, any, no children in this room? Any, there's some over here. When we do those things and care for the world around us, when we carry out other people's trash, even though it's not ours, right? Or pick it up outside. This one was for me. When you cut your lawn like Yankee Stadium infield, I love that, right? When we do these things and all these different actions, right? We're magnifying our Creator. We bring glory to our God and bring good into this world. Boy, we minimize what we do every day. We minimize our gifts. We minimize our talents. We minimize these things. But Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We just read 31 verses. That was just the first chapter of the Bible. And if you were continuing to Genesis, you would see how God blesses those that are do good, that trust Him. It produces, enhances, and preserves, and harmonizes with life. That's what He wants for us. He wants to harmonize with you. If you think about when he created Adam and Eve, and the thing that was done every morning is to walk in the garden together, but unfortunately, what had to happen? Sin entered the world, and things were changed. Harmony, as we know it, changed. We find also in Genesis, if you read further, that which is evil is cursed. It causes pain, diverts us from what is good, and impedes us or destroys life. Genesis traces the perpetual struggle between good and evil that characterizes our fallen human race. God will bring about greater good, build the faith of His people, and ultimately triumph over evil. Amen. Reminded in Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." He is the Lord of the universe who will move heaven and earth to bring about His plan. He desires to bless His people, but He will not tolerate rebellion or unbelief. Let me say that again. He will not tolerate rebellion or unbelief. To participate in His plan has always required faith, for which faith is without faith is impossible to what? Please Him. That's in Hebrews. Ultimate security and peace come from trusting and worshiping the Creator. So I started the year thinking about who God is. I want to know Him more. Starting off as the Creator who knows us intimately and made us in His image. I want to encourage everybody to read the Bible through. Because when we read the Bible through, Scripture describes God in many different ways, right? Scripture describes God's nature and explains His acts in history. When we read the Old Testament, we can see how God is when He responds to His people and when He participates in the lives of us and when He sees our decisions, and you can see God at work. God's special name in the Old Testament is Yahweh. The name comes from the Hebrew word meaning to be. God told Moses that His name means I am who I am. That's in Exodus 3:14. In other words, God defines Himself. Nothing else defines Him, but He defines everything. In most English translations, including the New Living Translation, which is what I have for my Bible, this name for God usually translates the Lord. How do you describe the God who created everything? I am who I am. Most often, the Old Testament describes God by picturing Him in relationship. God relates to His people as Savior, King, shepherd, warrior, husband, and in many roles. God also reveals who He is by what He does. For example, This is probably, I would have loved to have seen this miracle happen. I wonder if you guys would choose this too. If you could choose one miracle to see, but dividing the Red Sea. You guys know about the dividing of the Red Sea? It's one of those awesome ones in the Old Testament, right? But what is it? What do we know about God? The Red Sea. Nobody wants to shout it out? I'll take it from here. God is powerful. God, on the personal level, cares about his people. Isn't it interesting when all else fails, when the Israelites were, they're stuck, they had nowhere to go, and they got the forces of the enemy behind them, and God says, I got a way for you. Boom, Red Sea. Right? We also see God when you see the walls of Jericho to fall, how he established David as king, how he allowed the Babylonian army to defeat Jerusalem, and restoring his people to the Lord, or to the land after the exile. The Old Testament is fruit, has so much fruit that we can learn about God and how he worked with his people. But ultimately, he wanted to be able to have a relationship and to identify the things that would separate us from him. Harmony. Harmony in relationship with us. It's interesting when you go to the New Testament. How do we see the community of harmony in the New Testament? How does the whole story of the Old Testament, where does it lead to? Well, the answer is Jesus, right? It is by his life and death and the resurrection that we see everything that the Old Testament was hinting at or anticipating and foretold, where the New Testament now describes of Jesus, the one who came to finally to conquer death, to bring us life. In my world, we call this the good news, right? Where generations before looked forward to freedom from the oppression and laws and for the Messiah that would bring salvation for the yoke of sin and death. Every new day is a chance for us to live out the good news and to be image bearers of God who is good. Image bearers to do good. Man, that's a big undertaking, right? To be image bearers. But are we all the same? We're all so different, right? I thought it was really interesting as I was doing some preparation for this. I initially thought I'd land on Romans 12 and stay there because it seemed like such a great kind of call for us to be about, what a church would be about. But to think about that if we're Christ bearers and we're a reflection of who he is and this harmony of life and we're the ones that get to carry the good news about what Christ has done for us, I want to read these verses and I want you to think about kind of what this was, how this translates for you and what our church would look like here. Because if our church is the bearer too of God going forward, then I'm hopefully it reflects here. Now, we're dealing with Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, that's all of us, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Living sacrifices. That means I need to surrender myself, right? I need to say, okay, God, what do you have for me? I'm going to be obedient to you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. Transformation of the mind. We have someone in this room who's been a counselor for many years who always talks about how to take your thoughts captive. My mom, unbelievable counselor. She's just awesome. But as a young age, she's always telling me, Darren, where do those thoughts come from, right? But to be able to change, Lord, change our minds, transform us so we know what is good and pleasing and perfect. Verse 3, for the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, humble, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so is Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encouragement. Give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You guys, we all have something to give. We're not all the same. I wish I had every spiritual gift possible. That would be great. But who's got every spiritual gift? Jesus, right? He's got it all. But whatever we do, give it your all. Do it cheerfully, right? Generously give. Be diligent about it. Give encouragement. Man, our world, if we did all these things and lived it out, our world would see the light, would see the love, right? Now, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And who is good? God is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's hard, right? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And then skip to 21. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Boy, the call out. We're image bearers. We have all these unbelievable gifts from God. And it's clear from all these things, examples of how to live it out. And it seems like it's so counterintuitive to be able to live like God's asking us to live. But he has given us all that we need, right? I found a quote from F.F. Bruce. I thought it was really unique. Diversity, not uniformity, is the mark of God's handiwork. Each part of the body has its own distinctive work to do. Yet in a healthy body, all the parts function harmoniously and interdependently for the good of the whole people or the whole body. You guys, I'm looking around a room. I also see some green chairs. And no one's there. And that's okay. You're here, right? But there's a world that needs to know the goodness of the Lord. Needs to know. And we all are on God's team. We all in our way can show the love. We can serve. We can show hospitality. We can respond to people who are just fools in a way that can totally blow their socks off when we can show love and show a God that is good. Let's reflect those kind of things. 2022, to know him more. In that knowing, may we see ourselves and others in a new light. We're all created in God's image.